Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel, in the 14th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 14. Shall we go to the Lord in word of prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be able to be in your house this evening. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for those who have gathered. We're thankful for the singing of the hymns which we've just sang. We're thankful for your leading. We wish, dear Heavenly Father, that we would always follow that leading, but we are being led by the Spirit of God. And therefore we know that we are sons of God, because your Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit that we are. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, for your word that you have left us. We have the complete revelation that you have left for us of that which you would have us to know concerning yourself, concerning Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the redemption that he provided for us who are but sinful men. But praise God, we've been redeemed. We've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 14, and we particularly are taking our thoughts last week and this week from verses 7 and 8. So let's read those verses again this evening. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and he shall know that I am the Lord. The thought is, in this point, is the reach of God's judgment. And as we saw last week, it was to everyone. To everyone that, well, in short, is wicked, that is estranged from God. Our text says, who has set idols up in his heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. So the subjects of concern are everyone who's done that. Everyone who God is not their God. They're not following after God and after his ways. They could care less about God and things of God. They are those who have separated themselves from God. They are estranged from God. Tonight, along that line, the reach of God's judgment, we can want to consider the fact that God's judgment is against them and what that judgment is. He said, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. You understand, he said, the one who has set up the idols in his heart, he put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and he comes to the prophet to inquire of the Lord. Comes before the prophet under false pretenses, pretending to care about God and what God has to say. And God says, I'm not speaking through the prophet, but I will answer him myself. Let's see. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 16, he told Jeremiah this. He said, and I will utter, I will speak my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. What is he saying here to Jeremiah? They've set up idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before them. They're wicked. They're estranged from me. They've offered incense up to other gods, not to me. They haven't offered it up, he says. And he said to Jeremiah, he said, I will speak in my judgments to them. So, when God says to Ezekiel that I myself will answer him, what is he saying? I'll answer him of my judgments against him, my judgments concerning him. He shall have his answer. But not from the prophet's mouth. It'll be directly from God's mouth, and it will be according to his judgments, which he has purposed against them. In verse 8 we read, and I will set my face against that man. And I will set my face against that man. What man? Against the man who has in his heart, not God, but he has idols. He has other gods that he is worshiping. He's not worshiping the living God, the one true God, the creator God. He's worshiping that which God has created, and not God himself. God the Almighty will. He shall be against him. I'm thankful tonight that God is not against me. Just the thought of God being against me causes me to shudder. What one of us in our right mind would want God against them? These people that he's talking to, that Ezekiel is to take this message to, these people are Israelites. They were to be the people of God.
God had chosen them for himself. He brought them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, was with them through the wilderness wandering, took them into the promised land. He met their every need. He was a great blessing to them. Met everything they could need. What blessings. They should have known God. They should have known the Almighty God. They had witnessed his hand to deliver against all odds. I mean, you think of the armies that were defeated at the hand of God, and they numbered in the thousands. God gave deliverance to Israel with just a few men to show that it was God that did it. Not they themselves. And this is the God that is now saying, I'll be against him. I will be against him. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 34. Psalms 34, and look with me here at verse 16. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I ask you, is idolatry evil? Is to replace God, not have God, the God, in your heart, and to set up idols in your heart, is that evil? Well, we might not think that's such a terrible thing, but God said it is. It's evil against, because it's against Him. It's against God. Lord willing, we'll close out with the thoughts tonight. He's jealous. We've looked at that in the past, haven't we? God is jealous. He said, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. I mean, in other words, their life on the earth is going to be short-lived. It's short-lived. It doesn't matter if you live to be 120, 150 years old. It doesn't matter if you live to be the age of Methuselah, 969 years of age. It's a short time. It's a short time on the earth. And you'll be cut off from the earth. In other words, you'll be cut off from the things of the world. You'll be cut off from all the idols that you've set up in your heart. You'll be cut off from them. What will it matter then? Won't matter. Well, as we say, to a hill of beans. It won't matter. It won't be of any importance whatsoever. God, for God's face to be against you, for God to be against you, means that you'll be cut off. You're cut off from the earth forever. You see, the skeptic might say, well, aren't all men going to be cut off from the earth? No, not the righteous.
Numerous scriptures tell us the righteous shall inherit the earth. We're going to inherit this earth.
Yes, we might die one day. They might lay us in a grave one day in these bodies. But there's coming a day when these bodies are going to be raised a new body, like unto His glorious body. And there's coming a day when this world as we know it and the heavens as we know them are going to be done away with.
And the people that are going to dwell upon the earth are the righteous. The righteous will dwell then upon the earth. Can't imagine that.
Can't imagine that. Dwelling on the earth, not this earth, but a new earth, a new heaven, a new earth, with people and no sin. Can you imagine that?
If you can, you're better at imagining than I am. I know it's going to be so. But you see, the only thing we know from the time we're born is sin. The evil and the wickedness of this world, of people all around us, not to mention in our own lives. You see? Also tells us that not only will God's face be set against him, not only will God be against him, but God will make him a sign and a proverb, and will cut him off from the midst of my people.
He's going to be cut off, as we just talked about. There's coming a day when all the wicked are going to be cut off
from the people of God. And the only people that are going to dwell on the earth are the righteous.
You say, where are the rest going to be? Where are the wicked going to be?
Well, turn to Revelation chapter 20. You'll see where the wicked are going to be.
They're going to be in the lake of fire. A literal lake of fire and torment. Scripture says, where the flame is not quenched and the worm, man, dieth not.
That's a terrible thought. Terrible thought to be cut off from the midst of the people of the Lord, to be cut off from the earth. Turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 37. Psalms in 37. Look with me at verse 22. Psalms 37:22.
For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. Didn't I just tell you Scripture said that? Those that are blessed of the Lord, the righteous, are going to inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The wicked are cursed of God. They're going to be cut off.
They're not going to dwell in the earth. They're going to be cut off from the earth.
That's what it means to have God against you and not for you.
God's only for the righteous. You're only for those that have him in their heart, that worship him, the one and true God. The 44th chapter of the book of Psalms. The 44th chapter. Look with me here at verse 13.
Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbor, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. That's what it means to have God against you. This is Israel. This is Israel. He's going to make him a byword among the heathen. Hadn't he done that? Hasn't he done that? Isn't Israel a byword? Been a byword for all of my lifetime. That's what it means to have God against you. You see, God's going to make him desolate. And he'll be a sign, a proverb, a byword, an occasion of jokes and innuendos. You see, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. He had talked about this very thing to their fathers. To their fathers many years before. And that was passed down. That was what it meant to be an Israelite. They passed these things down. They read the law of God, but it meant nothing to them. They read the books of Moses, but it meant nothing to them. The book of Deuteronomy and chapter 28, verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. This chapter here is setting forth blessings if you obey me, if you obey my commands, and cursings if you disobey me. And what was it? What did it mean to obey the Lord? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and to walk in His ways. To walk in His commandments. To obey His commandments. That's what it meant to be blessed of the Lord. But if you refuse to do that, you're cursing. And this was a curse. What it means to have God be against you. Turn with me to the book of Numbers in chapter 26. Numbers chapter 26, and what is referred to here, we'll read it because it's shorter. We could go to Numbers 16 and read the whole account there, but we won't do that this evening for time's sake. Chapter 26 and verse 10. It said, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, talking about Dathan and Abiram, who said, oh, we'll just stay back here in our tents. We're not going to go up there with you against Korah. We'll just stay here in our tents. What they were doing, they were siding with Korah, along with the 250 men that were with Korah that took censers, as Moses had commanded them. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. You see, Dathan and Abiram and Korah were swallowed up. The earth opened up and swallowed them up, and their families with them and their belongings with them. And then the fire from God came down and slew the 250 men with their censers.
if that wasn't lesson enough to Israel. The next day, the very next morning, what happened? The whole congregation of Israel came together murmuring and complaining against Moses, and you killed the servants of the Lord. Moses, you and Aaron killed the servants of the Lord. I thought God did it. God's the one that rained down fire that killed them. God's the one that caused the earth to open this up and swallow them up. But they accused Moses and Aaron of killing the servants of the Lord. So another 14,700 died in a plague that God sent before Aaron could stay the plague by making an atonement on the behalf of the people. See, that's what it means to depart from God. To have God be against you. And to this day, Nathan and Abiram and Korah and those 250 men are proverb, are byword among the people. They're a sign. They're a sign in God's word for all that would disobey, for all that would stand up against the Lord and against his men. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and it'd be all right to go there because it'll be at least a couple of weeks before we get there on Sunday morning. The 24th chapter. In the last verse, verse 51. Not going to offer any explanation tonight. We'll be dealing with that when we get there. But notice what it said in verse 51. And shall cut him. This is concerning the evil servant. An evil servant. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See his end? God's against him. Why? Why is God against him? Because he's evil. He's not good. But he's evil. God stands, puts a difference between the good and the evil. God will make him an example. Listen, saved friend, aren't you glad we have these examples in God's word tonight? Aren't you glad that we can look at them? Aren't you glad they stand as a warning to us? They stand as an example to us. And because we know the terror of the Lord, we do what? We persuade men. Right? Because we know the terror of the Lord, because we know their end, if God's not merciful, if God does not save them, we preach the gospel of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to all that are rebellious, to all that are rebelling against God, everyone, we ought to be faithful to preach the word of God. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The wicked, were an example. They were a sign to Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And look with me at verse 4. For he cometh in with vanity and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Think about that. He comes in vanity, emptiness, wickedness, void of God. And how does he go out? He goes out in obscurity. He goes out in obscurity. And his name, what? His name is obscure. His name rots. Why? Talking about the family, the ancestry that he had there. In verse 3, he said, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, this individual in verse 4, he's a blot, he's a mark in the ancestral line. He's a blot on the seed of that family. Isn't that not a sign? Doesn't it stand as a proverb? Doesn't it speak volumes to all those who are then and come after him? To turn from his evil, to turn from his wickedness. Chapter 8 and verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. In other words, it's talking about rulers, it's talking about priests. They had been in the holy, their responsibility to lead in the holy, but they didn't. They left the holy. They reigned in wickedness and evil. See their plight? So I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. In other words, people wanted to forget about their wickedness and their wicked rule. It wasn't a pleasant one. It wasn't one that men brag about and boasted about. It's a sign. It's a proverb. It's an example for those that follow. Proverbs, comparison. Proverbs chapter 10. Concerning their name being in darkness. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. Those that are just, those that God has made just, and they walk in righteousness, is blessed. But the name of the wicked what? Shall rot. Shall be in darkness. Shall be in obscurity.
Listen, it is rottenness. It is rottenness to the bone. It's rottenness to the people. Yes. The name of men like Mussolini and the name of Hitler, it lives on. But is it not rottenness? Is it not an example of wickedness? And God's judgment and punishment? God being against that individual?
Hell going on. He said, by this ye shall know that I am the Lord.
By this ye shall know that I'm the Lord. You'll know that I'm God. You'll know that the punishment that is coming upon evil idolaters, whether they be elders or whether they be people, any man, every man that has set up idols in his heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. You shall know that I am the Lord. You shall know that I am God. I am jealous for my honor, for my worship. And I'll not give it, my glory, to another. He told them that. We won't turn to these scriptures tonight, but he told them that on Mount Sinai when he spoke to the multitude of Israel from the mount and gave them the Ten Commandments. The first one, they shall worship the Lord thy God. You shall not have any graven images, make any graven images before me and bow down to worship them, because the Lord thy God is a jealous God.
Told him, Moses rehearsed that with their children in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 5 and verse 9. Repeating the fact that the Lord their God is a jealous God. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2, Nahum delivered the message of God. God was jealous. Zechariah, message also was that God is jealous. God was jealous for Jerusalem and for Mount Zion. Why was God jealous for Jerusalem and Mount Zion? Because it was the city and mount of God. It was up on a hill, and it was a city. It was to be a light to the nations round about of the honor and glory of God, and a testimony of God and of His worship. And they forsook God for idols. Forsook God, the Creator, for that which God had created. Well, we'll